Well, if you were listening to my show yesterday, you heard me talk about this horrible crash on Aurora Avenue. A 23-year-old high on meth. She said, according to the police report, that she closed her eyes, gunned her car, and wanted to crash. And crash she did. She killed two pedestrians. She injured more. She took out a rock wall, a fire hydrant, went running up the street carrying a bush that she had planned to hide behind in her meth-addled state. And I read a column in The Stranger that said, blaming the meth, blaming the driver even, is misguided. Charles Medede, he is a staff writer for The Stranger, and he joins us here on The Dory Monson Show. Charles, I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thank you for having me on.
Okay, and so you're going to have to explain this to me because I have your column. You were comparing it to a terror attack on the London Bridge around the same time last week. And
well, not exactly comparing it.
Well, that's your lead line. You said
yeah, but what I was saying was how we respond to these incidents.
Okay.
The terrorist incident received a lot of attention when really the more important incident for most of us is the one that happened on Aurora Bridge.
Yeah, and I would argue that the Aurora crash has gotten much more attention here in Seattle, as it should. I didn't talk about the London thing at all, but I certainly talked about this. Okay, so let me read a line from your story. You said, this year on Aurora Avenue alone, six people have been killed. This is just one more deadly Aurora crash in a year that still has a month left. And then you said they will increase surveillance, pass more bans on Muslims, and maybe even launch new wars because of the guy who caused the London Bridge crash. But expect the U.S. DOT, WSDOT, and Seattle DOT to do squat about what presents a far greater danger to your life. So you believe that... What? Why are our traffic engineers responsible for this?
Okay, I know. One thing everybody's going to say, and I know this because I received a lot of heat for saying this, and everybody has pointed out, I know, and I saw it in the police report. I was not ignorant of the declaration she made to the police officer, to the reporting police officer at the scene, right? It's in, which is where the story about her closing her eyes comes from. It's from that police report. I just want to put that aside for a second and just say that, okay, I know that we want to pin this on an individual because that makes us feel okay about a state of traffic, the state of traffic in the city, which is terrible, right? It's terrible for pedestrians, it's terrible for cyclists, and it's terrible for drivers as well. And nothing is really being done of any kind of like, you know, of any in any meaningful way about this situation. And this, and I know people want to run out the door and say, okay, but she was addled, she was high, so she deserves to be punished and so forth and so on. And she's just, this has nothing to do with our traffic situation in Seattle. But I just find it hard to believe when you look at the statistics on that road. I mean, what are we supposed to do? So what about the others? Were they also addled? Right. And so I look at things statistically. I don't look at things from the individual perspective, which can be comforting because you can say, that's not me. I don't take meth. I don't do crazy stuff. But you can, you know what I mean? But then you've not really addressed. So
hold on one sec, because I'm a numbers guy, too. The fact of the matter is I don't have those other police reports in front of me. So and whatever sample size you're talking about is statistically irrelevant. But this one crash was caused because a 23-year-old woman was high on meth, closed her eyes, and gunned her car. And you specifically said that our culture is more to blame than she is. I mean, that's what you wrote here.
Yes, I you can't find any truth in that. I'm sorry. To me, that's clearly the to me, you know, you're most likely. I mean, the real issue is cars move too fast in the city. Another problem is we don't police cars as strictly as we should. I mean, just even recently, you had drivers going down bus lanes with complete impunity, and this goes on. And it's well, I'm just telling people, like, stop. Right, I know you want to pin this on one person. I know this will make you feel better, and I'm saying no. Face the numbers.
Okay,
face the larger facts.
You clearly do not like automobiles. I gather that from your your call. Is that a true statement?
Okay, I don't have any problems with automobiles in the sense that, you know, I mean, they're useful for some people. They definitely are, but in a city which is really dense and hasn't had any major structural improvements, infrastructural improvements, has exploded in its population. We're still driving the same roads. We have not done a reality check about the situation we're in.
I want to make sure I get to all the things in your column here, Charles. So what you wrote is that the 23-year-old who was driving the car, she and the pedestrians killed and injured by the car she allegedly drove have no one to blame mm-hmm. for this terrible state of things but their own culture. So you say the dead pedestrians have to blame their family members, their loved ones. They should blame our car culture more than the 23-year-old meth head who is driving.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I'm not going to stand back on that one.
No, I'm not asking you to.
I've received letters from people who actually were associated or close to the victims on the streets, and I had to come out, you know, and just say, I'm really sorry about the loss. I know it's terrible, but I have to stick with the larger issue that's at stake. I cannot be swallowed up in the details.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I'm clear. If you're standing with that, so you believe the dead pedestrians have their culture that they were a part of, meaning a car culture, quite clearly. You believe that they have their own culture to blame more than the 23-year-old high on meth driving the car.
I don't know. I don't understand why that's impossible to understand.
Well, you have absolved the meth driver of any blame then, because you said they have
I know that the meth driver is going to be punished. Look, I know that.
But you've absolved the driver of blame. I mean, these are your words, Charles.
The person who allegedly hit the pedestrians and several, you know, light, fire hydrants and so forth and so on, and fled the car. You know, what I'm just saying is, yes, okay. But, you know, there's no question about it. She's going to, if she is guilty, she's going to have to face justice.
Right, but you believe she is not to blame.
At the end of the day, when I look at the larger picture, if I back away from that situation, I can confidently say, no, she's not to blame. If I want to go to that situation and individualize it, isolate it out of a broader picture of rules and laws that we maintain in our culture, right, which privileges automobile freedom and so forth and so on. If I am to look at, I say that no. In the larger picture, she's not.
Okay. All right.
Let's move on to one other point
that's in your column. You said the driver and the pedestrians are entangled in a structure that prioritizes the mobility of cars in all its transportation decisions and policies, a structure that starves all other options to the automobile. How can you say that when we have people in Seattle DOT, in Seattle City Council, who have admitted that there is a war on cars? We're spending $100 billion on a bogus light rail system. We're spending billions on buses.
No,
let me ask my question. Let me just ask my question.
Yeah, I know.
We're spending billions on buses. We're spending hundreds of millions on a streetcar that does nothing. We're spending hundreds of millions on bike lanes. How can you say that we have starved all other options when we have a war on cars and are spending hundreds of billions on other options?
Look, the SDOT, or even I should say the WDOT, the Washington Department of Transportation, over the past 14 years, right, it was recorded, spent a record amount of 77%. I'm sorry, I don't have the facts in front of me, but it was over 70% of its budget went to freeing up cars which are stuck in traffic, and they only had the gain of 1% on a lane, right? They only gained 1%.
If you're talking about WashDOT, more than 95% of the trip miles are by car. on our state highways and freeways. And so if they're only spending 70% on cars, then they're dramatically underspending on cars on a you know, per mile basis.
Yeah, but the results are minimal. So when do we stop spending on cars, right? With such small results, so just small results. When do we end and say, like, no, this is not working? In fact, I can argue quite simply, if I look at the budget and say, no, this is absolutely inefficient, right? Okay. First of all, I mean, we have to put in the pollutants that are caused by this increase or this support of car mobility, and then we have to deal with also the health factors. Just simply, my gosh, I mean, the pedestrian deaths are actually climbing nationwide. When do we actually say, I mean, what do you want to do?
Well,
do you want to abandon sidewalks? Do you want to abandon all forms of safety for others who feel like the car is not
Charles,
the way to go?
I will tell you, because I had Scott Kubley when he was SDOT director on my show. I went over all the numbers for him, and by far, the most deadly forms of travel are biking and walking. I mean, by far. Cars are much safer. Cars are much safer on a per-mile basis.
You got to be kidding me.
I will bet you any amount of money on that one. Okay. Hey, Charles, we're out of time. I really appreciate you talking to me about this. But
by the way, you're completely wrong, and I just want everybody to know that. Trust my logic. It stands. It holds.
Okay.
Believe in it.
And your logic is the 23-year-old driver who was high on meth should have no blame for these deaths.
It's tough, but in the end, it'll produce the correct results if we accept that logic.
Charles,
leave with that.
Got it. I appreciate you talking with me about this.
Okay.
Very provocative column. All right, Charles Medetti, staff writer at The Stranger. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973, and we have lots more straight ahead here on The Dory Monson Show.